Well, good morning, Saints of God. This is Ty Moore bringing you your online Bible school with Grace Institute. And we are sharing this with our other discipleship group, PowerPoint Motivation of the Word, PowerPoint Discipleship, and Favor Media. We want to welcome you to week two on the lesson of how faith works. We dealt with last week in giving you insights and understanding about how faith works. And we want to continue in sharing the scripture with you. The only way that I can show you about how faith works, it would be along the lines of sharing with you and demonstrating what the Word of God has to say. Because the more you have an understanding of seeing this, what the scripture has to say, you can see it in the Word of God for yourself, then you're more likely to act. You're more likely to hold fast to the truth. See, it's one thing to hear about a truth, but then it's another thing in knowing how to stand on it, on that same truth that you've heard. And that's why Jesus made the statement in John 8:32. He started verse 31. Let's just look at that for a moment. In John chapter 8, and look at verse 31 and verse 32 of John 8. And it's a familiar passage of scripture, but if you notice here how Jesus talked about one following him, notice this in John 8, 31. He said, "If you continue in my word," and see, now we're talking about how faith works, right? Number one, you're going to have to, make the Word of God first line of offense, of defense and offense. And then you have to make it your final, it has to be the final plane that you stand on. When I say the final plane that you stand on, notice this. Notice what it said. It said, if you continue, that means that is, it's not automatic. When he said, if you continue, what is it simply saying? It's saying that you have to have an agreement. You have to participate. See, if you continue in my word, you see what he said there in John 8:31? If you continue in my word, then shall you be what? My disciple. And so notice this. So he said, then shall you be my disciple. If I do what? Continue. Now, a disciple is what? One that follow. One that follow, one that listen, one that teaches, one that demonstrate the life of Christ. So we're not talking about just as a believer. We're talking about a disciple. We're talking about one that will get results. And so I believe that those of you that tune in on a weekly basis or whatnot, you're the ones that wants to get the result. I want to get the result. And so how do we go about getting those results? Well, we see right here, he said, Jesus said to them, if you continue, and he was talking to those Jews that believed on him. So it's like here we have people struggle in trusting and believing God that he still heals, that he still delivers, and he sets the captives free. We have people still struggle that God is a God of abundance. And so as long as you struggle with things that is rightfully yours, not that we did anything to earn it, but it's that it's what he has done for us. And he's looking for us to do what? To renew our mind through our soul. So until the soul has a mind renewal, which comes through your mind, your will, and your emotion, until the soul has a mind renewal, then you and I would never be able to allow the goodness of God to penetrate into our lives. And it's not an overnight thing. You know, it's a constant renewing of the mind for you and I to walk in these spiritual principles. Why? because you have an enemy, an opposer. His name is Satan, the devil. And he's a deceiver. And he's out, excuse me, he's out to do what? Use ways to beguile, use ways of being subtle. And when you look those two words up, beguile and subtle, it means deception. That's his, he used those means for do what? To deceive us if we open the eyes of our understanding. Meaning if I give into what is doing, if I give into the cunningness, the crafty way of something, then notice this, then I put myself in a way that I can be deceived by the wicked one. And so, and that's why Jesus said, he said to those Jews that believed on him, we could just say to those of us today that believe on him, whether we be Jews or Gentile, he said, if you continue in my word, that's the qualification. So it's not automatic. If you continue in my word, then you shall be what? My disciples. And so when you are a disciple, you're going to lay hands on the sick and they're going to recover. You're going to raise the dead. Are you following what I'm saying? You're going to cast out devils. Can you see that? This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is what a disciple does. You see? And notice this. And he said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Notice he said, you shall know the truth. That the, you know, there's two key words for the word know. You know, one is an intellectual knowing, meaning I have understanding what this means, what this said. And then that is a knowing of revelation, a knowing, a reveal understanding of a truth and how to go about doing it. In other words, you know, you could know, think about when you were a kid, when I was a kid, you know, I knew that my shoes needed to be tied, my string on my tennis shoes needed to be tied, or whatever I had on. But look at the struggle I had to try to make that little bow tie, you know. And notice this, the more I kept practicing and tying that shoe, well, some of the, you know, people today, they don't know, they just slip on shoes. But back then, we didn't have the luxury to just slip on a shoe. You had to learn how to tie that, the lace. And so the more you practice tying the lace of that shoe, then guess what? The more proficient I got. You know, I could just tie my shoe, not even looking down. Well, that's what this knowing means. So when he said, and Jesus said, and you shall know the truth, and that truth shall make you free. That truth that you have revelation, that truth that you have understanding of, that truth will make you free. And that's why when we say how faith works, that means once I have a revealed knowledge, well, what the first thing he said? First thing we have to do is believe, right? Once I believe that this is the word of God, the Bible is the word of God, and whatever I come up and look and see what the Bible has to say about it, what do? I say this, I make the Bible my final authority. I yield myself, I submit myself to the truth of what the word of God says. And then I walk in that. Now, I have to renew my mind to some of the things to do what? To walk in. Why? Because I'm not accustomed of just doing what the word of God says. Why? Because we have our own thoughts. We have our own history. You know, good and bad. And that's the reason why. And that comes from the first Adam. See, we didn't have a way of thinking evil or being twisted-minded in our thinking or being conniving in our ways of doing until the first Adam violated that word of God. That's where the knowledge of good and evil came from. It didn't come from anything that you done wrong, maybe your parents or your parents' parents. No, it came from that first parent. And as we grow in Christ, the anointed one, and his anointing, as we grow in this grace, That's what it is. It's a constant growth. It's a growth, a place that you never graduate from. And why? Because you still live in this body, number one. You still live in this faulty world system, number two. And notice this. There are things that the enemy is always lurking that doesn't work perfectly all the time. And that's why you and I, as sons of God, sons and daughters of God, we have to do what? We are manifesting God's original intent. But it can only be manifested through the renewing of our mind. Notice what 3 John 2 said. Beloved, I pray above all things that thou mayest what? Prosper, be in health, even as your soul prosper. So therefore, if the word of God does not, if I don't allow the word of God to bring about a change in my soul, that my way of thinking, the choice I make, and my emotions, then guess what? I will just have what the word of God says, but I'll never be able to taste and see that the Lord really is good. Why? Because I'm still trying to do it in my own might. I'm still trying to live it out in my own way. So until we actually, you know, as the scripture says, humble ourselves before Almighty God. When we do that, then he will exalt us in due time. Meaning, as we make a decision that I'm laying my life down, I'm dying to myself, I'm stripping away my thoughts, my way of being, and I'm putting on his way, I'm putting on his thoughts. And when we do that, then we get the result that the Word of God promised us. Okay? So, I know I'm taking a lot of time at this, but this is my calling to do what? It's to, one of the things is to change and restore. Well, in order for you to have a restored mindset so that you know that it's nothing wrong with you because of the parent you were, the family you was raised in, because of the color of your skin and all this other stuff that people, you know, put on you, whatnot. It has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with the first Adam. And now that we have an understanding that now we can change the way we think by changing the way we believe. And so when you believe right, you're going to think right. And when you think right, notice this, you're going to do right. And it's just that simple. But it's a constant renewing. It's a constant, you know, staying steady on that pathway. See, you can't allow yourself to slip back into the old pattern, the old way of thinking, the old way of doing. That time people may do you wrong. That time people may say something wrong. There may be time that people may, things may not be always upfront to you. But you can't control that. But you can control your attitude. You can control your thoughts, your way, your action. And that's, and why? Because when we do that, we are true disciples. Because that's just the way it is. Amen. And so, again, these two verses of scripture, he said, if you continue my word, then are you my disciple indeed. See, a disciple is one that what? That learns, that discipline, that teaches, that actually do the life that Jesus has put out for us to live. Okay? Now go back over here. Go over here to Proverbs chapter 4. I'm going to close with this. Opening up, setting the groundwork for where we're going all this week. We're still talking about how faith works. And this is week 2 of sharing with you about how faith works. So, number one, what did we establish this morning thus far? When we talked, when Jesus said to those Jews that believed, you know, those Jews that followed him, you know, that, and it's the same thing about us, whether we be Jews or Gentile, if we are followers of Christ, meaning the anointing of the anointed one, we have to believe. Why? Because there is no physical, tangible evidence to support your belief, whereas you could stand on it per se. Now, you can see the handiworks of God. You can see the creation. That is enough for us to say, I believe. But again, when you look at your own life history, you look down the road that you and I have traveled, you may have some good, you may have some bad, experience some bad, and some you may have experienced more bad than it is good, and it's like it's hard for you to trust. It's hard for you to take your hands off of something. It's hard for you to let go or change your mind about an attitude. Why? Because you have been in such a whirlwind in your life for so long. It only the Word of God can break the cycle. Only the Word of God can can jackhammer the foundation of things that have had us in a stronghold, that had us in a like they say, put you in a headlock, a spiritual headlock. Well, only the Word of God can break the force of that. And so when you and I come to the truth of God's word, don't look at where you are or how you are now, but look at what God has already made ready for you, and then allow the Holy Spirit to infiltrate your heart to do what? So that he can reveal not only what you have and who you are, but then he can reveal also how to walk you out of every situation, every crisis by faith. Because we can't do it on our own. We don't know all. We don't see all. But we have one that lives in us that know all and that sees all. Amen. And so let's look at this for a moment. In Proverbs chapter 4, and let's look at this verse 20. Proverbs chapter 4, and look at verse 20. And I'm going to give you this in the Amplified Bible. It says, "My son, attend to my words." So you see how faith works. Number one, we talked about number one, you have to believe, right? Number two, we said the truth that you know is the truth you say you're free. So number two, we have to have a reveal or revelation knowledge of that truth. Why? Because the moment you stand on that truth, Satan is going to use circumstances. He's going to use conditions. He's going to use situation. He's going to do everything he can to do what? To arouse you. He's going to do everything he can to get you to turn loose of that truth. Because why? That truth is what's going to cause you to live in peace. That truth is what's going to cause you to triumph. That truth is what's going to put you up above in that heavenly place and keep you there. That's what the enemy don't want. He don't want you to be to the place where nothing touch you. You know how sometimes you get people say, "You're not worried about that?" No. Didn't say I didn't have opportunities to worry about it. Didn't say I didn't have opportunity to be weary about it. But because I'm learning how to trust him, I'm learning how to lean up on him, then by faith, when I say by faith, that means by the word that I have embraced through the book, through the Bible, the truth I have embraced, I'm learning to do what? Lean upon it. Because that's where the life is. And I know we like to have a person, and God does use people to help us. God does use people to walk with us, but he will bring the people along himself. He will have the provision that's set up himself so that you can move forward, so that you can fulfill all that he put in your heart. You can't do it on your own. And if you have not noticed, if you look around in this life that we live in, it's like the enemy is doing everything he can to squeeze out, to make sure that you and I can't make it. Because of, economics, because of all kind of stuff that's taking place or whatnot. But I'm telling you, as the scripture said, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Every tongue that rises up against us in judgment, we should be the one to condemn. So you have to hold fast to the truth, hold your ground, and continue to keep your eyes focused on that truth. When we say keep your eyes on the Lord, we mean keep your eyes on that word of the Lord that gave you that victory, that gave you that peace. So when you have a word that turned loose that burden, that weight that was on you, when you have good news, that's what you hold on to. Because why? Because what was on you going to try to come back. The negative report, whatever it is, the feeling, the emotion. But when you quote that word, you know, like one of my members gave me a scripture in Proverbs 29:11, and I still quote it to myself, you know, and this is what it says in Proverbs 29:11. It talked about how the Lord will give you unyielding strength, unyielding and impenetrable strength. That means you are not yield to the work of the enemy. You are not yield to the hand of the enemy. I say Proverbs, I mean it's Psalm 29:11. But he'll give you unyielding, impenetrable strength. And notice this, so that you and I can do what? Walk in his peace. Amen. And so that might be, you know, somebody may need that. Let me just turn that for a moment. And I believe I quoted it just the way it's supposed to. It said, the Lord will give unyielding and impenetrable strength. That means it, no matter what the enemy throws at you, it will not be able to penetrate. Are you following what I'm saying? Watch this. It says, notice this. It'll not be able to penetrate. And notice this. It says, the Lord will give unyielding and impenetrable strength, and his people, notice this, to his people. The Lord will give his people peace. Can you see that? The Lord will give his people what? Peace. So he'll give you peace in the midst of the trial. He'll strengthen you in the midst of the trial. And so we just got to do what? Hold on to what? Hold on to that truth. Hold on to that unyield. Whatever he said to give you, to give you strength, to give you peace, you got to hold on to it. Why? Because the negative report is to razzle you and I. But if I have this truth from God, if I have this truth, I may have to go through it, but I won't go through it by myself. He's with me going through it. Amen. And so as we close here again in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20, notice this. It says, my son, attend to my word. So the third thing that we see here, we said to those that the Jews that believed, he said, the first thing he said to them, those who believe, right? You have to believe, right? Number two, you say you have to have a revealing knowledge, a revelation knowledge to do what? To help you to hold your stand. And then I said, number three, he said, now attend to my word. So you have to attend. To attend mean, you notice this. I like what it says. It said, my son, attend to my words. In other words, consent and submit to my saying. That's what the word attend means. To what? To consent. That means you have to give consent. And then notice what he said. Submit to my saying. So that means no matter what's going on, when we allow the word to be our way to help us, to give us light, then guess what? The Lord will work. He'll see us through it. But if you try it on your own, it may not go the way that you expect. Or you may come out on top, but the fight you have. And, you know, no. We as believers look to do what? Turn down the volume of hate and anger. Right? Watch this. Number two, he said, let them not depart from your sight. Can you see that? That means once you have embraced that truth, once you have believed, once you have a revelation knowledge on that, now notice this. Now you have to come to a place, okay? Watch it. Now you have to come to a place and recognize that number two, it said, let them not depart from your sight. So you don't let that word go. You know, and back in the early days, we wrote it down. When we wrote it down on a 3x5 index card, it was because it was part of your devotion. Why? At that moment, it was everything that I need. It was my lifeline. Why? Because that's all, when I read those scriptures, whether it be on anger, whether it be on fear, whether it be on faith, whether it be on love, it didn't make a difference. Or whether it be on prosperity, those scriptures gave me peace. Those scriptures put me in a place of rest. But when I didn't have those scriptures to read, when I didn't have anything to stand on, when my mind was assaulted by a thought from the wicked one, or maybe what's the enemy using someone, I had no defense. So if you don't have a spiritual defense, you have a defense, but it will be of the flesh. And that's what you don't want. And that's what the enemy wants. He wants you to walk in the flesh. He wants you to let go in the flesh. But if you have that word and you meditate on it, then guess what's going to happen? You're going to walk out. You're going to stand on that truth. You're going to speak what that word says. In some ways, you'll surprise yourself because you meditate on it so much, you spoke it out your mouth so much, and all of a sudden, it's just like, man, that thing got down on the inside of you. And whether you functioning out of a fleshly behavior, what are you doing? You are standing on the word of God that you have embraced, that you first believe, that you have a revealed knowledge, insight of. And notice this, you consented, you put yourself in a place that I'm going to submit to that truth. When you do that, then that's what he said. That's what he meant by that. He said, let them not depart from your eyes or your sight. And that could be both, what? Physically and spiritually, meaning your sight spiritually will be your imagination. That means the word will paint a picture of victory. When you meditate on God's word, when you make a stand on his truth, guess what it does? It gives you a picture, an image of victory, of triumph. But if you don't meditate on his word, if you meditate on trying to get even, if you meditate on trying to be vindicted or whatever, then guess what? It paints a picture of strife. It paints a picture of fear. It paints a picture of envy. It paints a picture of confusion. And then Satan will have all manner of evil work working through you and I. He can't do it, but he had to get us as humans to do what? To assault one another, to badger one another. Can you see that? So he said, let them not depart from your eyes and keep them in the center of your heart. See, that's your imagination also. Your heart, your soul is comprised of your heart, your mind, your will, and your emotion. And so your emotions is affected how? Through your feelings or through your senses. And so if my emotions get stirred, then guess what? And if my senses have not been harnessed, if I have not learned to harness my emotion through the word of God, then my emotion is going to, my senses is going to express itself, you know, to protect itself from the hurt, to protect itself from whatever. And I can tell you, it never turns out good. But if I can do what the word says, Proverbs 23:7 said, as a man thinketh, in his heart, so is he. So therefore, I'm going to think on the word. I don't know about you, but I'm, you know, and you'll learn to come to that place. I'm going to think on the word. Didn't say it was always automatic. It's never automatic, and it's never just as, it's never easy, but the more you do it, the easier it is to be yielding to that principle, the easier it is to yield to his strength. Because why? You've already seen victory. You've already seen how God brought you out of this and how God brought you out of that. And so now you're strengthened in your heart and say, if God brought me through this, then surely God can bring me through that. Or if God, if nothing else, if God became a man and went to hell for me 3 days and three nights when I was no good, when I was a no count, when I didn't even acknowledge him, when I wasn't even doing anything to honor him, and now that I am in the body of Christ, now that I am a true son or daughter, what will he not do for me now? That's the attitude that you must have. Are you following what I'm saying? Whether you have done it right or wrong. When we are wrong, what do? We repent. See? It doesn't affect God's love towards you and I. Sometimes it causes a relationship to be at strain, but we can repent and we can humble ourselves and do what and beg for mercy. That's the difference between a believer and an unbeliever. Amen. And so as we close with this, I'll pick this up again tomorrow. Notice that he said, let them not depart from your sight. And keep them in the center of your heart. What are you going to keep in the center of your heart? You're going to keep his word. You're going to keep his way that he made known to you. Why? Because the enemy, remember, he's looking to beguile or to use subtlety. Mean he's going to do something to do what? To paint you a different picture like he did Adam and Eve in the garden. That's what deception came from. He had to present them in a manner that God was withholding from them, because they lived in a perfect environment. Nothing was missing. Nothing was broken. So he had to present it in a manner of something the way it just looked like. And that's what the enemy is still using today. That's his strongest weapon against not just the church, but all humanity. Is to put something in a way through means of deception. And it's going to take you and I to do what? To get to that place and recognize, I'm not going to fall for that. I'm going to trust God at his word. No matter how I feel, no matter what it looks like, I'm going to trust God at his word. Why? Because, hey, number one, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Number two, the Bible said in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God that what loved me and gave himself for me. That's where you have to put yourself at. And you have to remind yourself of that all the time. Why? Because you have your thought, and every now and then your thought, your idea wants to get out and it wants to be crazy. But then we have the mind of Christ and we have the Holy Spirit. It brings us back. It brings us back in line and put us back in that place to do what? That we can actually begin to do what? To say, no, Lord, forgive me. This is your way in doing. And then what we do, we get right back in there, chuck it with him again. Amen. So I want you to know we love you. I thank God for you. And remember, you know, all of us have things that we face. All of us have challenges. It's not the challenges that comes against us. It's how we behave when we're in them. And again, I know that's easily said than done, but when you have the Word of God, something to hold on to, like a precious jewel, then that's what you hold on to. That's what you scream out of your mouth with. Amen. So until the next time, may God's best and His favor be with you. We love you now. We'll do it again tomorrow, God willing. Remember, this lesson will be uploaded on our podcast called Grace Institute Online Bible School. And you can listen to this again over and over and over. It'll feed your faith and it'll starve out your doubts. Amen. Bye-bye, everyone. Thank you for listening.